I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, he was an Army specialist, badly burned when his truck hit a landmine in Iraq. But now he's become an unlikely heartthrob, starring in a soap. We'll tell you about him in just a few minutes. But first, a new study by RAND Corporation says that the children of military parents deployed to serve abroad may have a greater number of emotional or behavioral difficulties than the children of civilians. The study comes on the heels of President Obama's decision last week to deploy at least 30,000 additional troops to Afghanistan. We wanted to know more about this, so we called RAND scientist Anita Chandra. She's the lead author of the study. We're also joined by Starlet Henderson, mother of two and co-founder of the Army Wife Network. Her husband is currently deployed for the fourth time. He's in Afghanistan. That's on top of her own previous deployment. They're both with us now. Welcome to you both. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you, Michelle.
Anita, exactly what types of emotional and behavioral difficulties did you find that the children of military families were having, and how did that compare to, I guess, what a control group of children of civilians?
Sure. Some of the things that children in our sample of military children shared was that they had greater feelings of anxiety, some more worry, feeling sad or tearful. And this compared to other studies of non-military children at rates that were almost double. We found that about 30% of children in our sample had elevated anxiety symptoms compared to about 15% that we might expect in a national sample.
And in a way, it seems intuitively obvious. Like, why wouldn't your children be anxious if you were overseas? But does this compare to previous research that's been done in this area? And is there something new that particularly caught your attention?
Well, we were really focused on older children. And many of the studies to date that have been released have focused on children under the age of 12. And we felt it was important to understand how preteens and teenagers are doing. And we weren't sure what to expect because there's been very little study of military children.
Why is that?
I think there's been a lot of focus on the service members, understandably, but we really need to know that we are sort of a military of families and to understand how the children and the parents at home are experiencing the deployment as well is critical.
Star, first of all, let me thank you and your husband for your service.
Well, thank you.
Both of you have served, and I would also argue that, as Anita just mentioned, that even if you haven't put on the uniform yourself, you are serving.
We still serve.
You are correct. Still serving as a family member. But I wanted to talk to you about how you have seen these concerns play out in your own family. Your son's 13, your daughter's 5. Between you and your husband have had 5 deployments. So what have you seen?
I've seen an increase in those same symptoms that Anita talked about, anxiety, sleep disorders, and some anger issues in my son.
And do you get some support for this? I mean, maybe civilians, I think we have this idea that, the military is one big family, and that one of the advantages of being in the military is that you all have other people to share with and to work with who understand what your family's going through. Is that true?
There is support through different networks online, to include ours, Army Wife Network, but there's also support in the community. The problem is finding that support and also battling the urge to try and do it all yourself.
Do you think that the repeated deployments play a role? Is it not just the fact of going once, but going back and forth and not knowing when your spouse might have to go back? Star, do you think that that's a factor?
Right. As the study showed, the repeated deployments really contribute to something called compassion fatigue, maybe in our neighbors, and then passion fatigue in our own families. And we, Tara and I, the other co-founder of Army Wife Network, have always asked the question when we talk to other spouses whether or not deployments get easier. Most people in their second or third might be tempted to say that, yes, they do get easier. But as we experience our fourth and fifth, we get tired. And, it's harder just to manage the differences, the older children, your own age and your own fatigue.
And tell me, can I ask about the 13-year-old and the 5-year-old? One of the things that Anita was telling us is that there's been, to the degree there has been any research, it's focused on the younger children and not the older children. Talk to me about the difference between what you see in your son and your daughter.
Sure. My daughter, for example, one of the resources that we used to explain my husband's deployment to her was the Talk, Listen, and Connect DVD from Sesame Street and Walmart. And so obviously Sesame Street is geared toward younger children, and it explained about how Elmo's father had to deploy, and it was very age appropriate. But at the time, you know, when my son was her age, we didn't have that. And now that he's older, it's been harder to find resources to explain to him why my husband has to still keep going and why the job's not finished. And, of course, being a volunteer Army, why my husband continues to volunteer.
Anita, are you sure that your sample was representative? I understand that the survey covered families that applied for the National Military Families Association Operation Purple Camp, which is to the mission of the camp is to help children cope with the stress of war. It says that more than 4,000 families were invited to participate in the RAND study. But are you sure that this is representative?
Sure. That's always a concern of any study. We don't know if applicants to the camp were either more stressed, thus wanting the camp, or they were less stressed and they could be organized enough to find the resources. We know from other studies, mental health studies and so on, that sometimes the people most in need are the ones that are least connected to services. So those are always the limitations that we share in our study. We did include people who were accepted and those who were not accepted to camp and tried to look if there were differences between the two and really didn't see much there. But that's certainly a concern that we always share with any study.
What does this suggest? What do these findings suggest about ways that as a country we should be supporting these families in ways that we perhaps are not?
Well, one of the things is we hope that we shed light on particular groups of kids that might benefit from more targeted support. And some of that support can happen in the civilian community. There are a lot of great community-based resources. And I think thinking about how you can serve military children through those existing programs is one way, particularly for teenagers in your community that we found that they are also experiencing difficulties. And as Star really focused on, there's not a lot of services for that population.
Star, what about, tell me more, what else do you think would be helpful? And I was also interested to hear what you said about compassion fatigue. I mean, you seem to say that it seems in a way that a lot of people have forgotten about what the families are going through. I mean, I know that the Obamas, particularly Michelle Obama, has made a big effort to showcase military families and to offer support, and as did her predecessor, Laura Bush. But what else do you think would be helpful?
Right. Sure. I just want to first clarify that, you know, compassion fatigue is about getting tired and not forgetting about the military families. I think that our neighbors and community members have not forgotten about us, but they have their own, you know, life struggles, and sometimes they can't always reach out. You know, they're under their own overwhelmedness is what we call it. So it's just that we're all getting tired. And, you know, I mean, I have a hard time supporting my family through this fifth deployment. So I can't expect, you know, my neighbors to always keep up with that. It's not that they've forgotten. It's just that, you know, that they're overwhelmed as well. Something that I feel might contribute, first of all, I want to recognize Operation Purple Camp as a great resource because it was one thing that my son did gain a lot from. You know, I just feel like keeping the issue in the forefront is very helpful, and offering counseling is something that has been coming up. You know, more and more individuals are accessing counseling, and so I think, you know, counseling, free counseling from Military One Source or Given Hour, are different ways that the community can support us. Is just to be available to provide that listening ear and to help, you know, normalize or validate our feelings of the fact that, you know, yeah, we're all getting tired.
How are you doing?
You know, there's good days and there's bad days. I get a lot of reward or satisfaction from helping other spouses through what I've already been through, and that keeps me going.
Well, you sound great, and I thank you for taking the time, and I do appreciate what you're doing, and I don't think we can say it enough. I appreciate you,
yeah,
and I appreciate
thank
what
you,
you're so. Doing.
And having this, and, you know, as part of your program content helps a lot, too. Get that word out there.
And Anita, finally, we have about 40 seconds left. Is there anything else that you think we should be thinking about? Are there ways that civilians can be helpful other than urging, of course, policymakers to make these resources available?
Well, I think it's also important to think about not only the children, but the parent at home, like Star, who also need to take care of themselves and have supports for them. And our study shows that there is a big relationship between how the parent at home is doing and how children are doing. So I can't underscore that enough and figuring out how to support them better.
Hear that, Mom? You need a spa day.
We do take those, yes, and it is definitely recommended for other spouses.
Star Henderson is the co-founder of the Army Wife Network, and she was kind enough to join us by phone from her home in Statesboro, Georgia. Anita Chandra is a behavioral scientist at the RAND Corporation. She was kind enough to join us here in our Washington, D.C. studios. If you want to read the study that we're talking about, we'll have a link on our website. Just go to npr.org, click on programs, then on Tell Me More. Ladies, thank you again.
Thank you.
Absolutely.